L.
This is the Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com. You can call us at 440-579-2531. Send us an email at studio@sportstalknetwork.com or follow us on Twitter at SportsTalkNet. The Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com starts now.
Hello again, everybody. This is Steve Callis on The Steve Callis Show. It's Tuesday, April 3rd, 2012. I encourage you to send your emails to studio@sportstalknetwork.com. That's S-T-U-D-I-O at sportstalknetwork.com. Got a lot to do today. We'll start down in New Orleans with the final game of the college basketball season. I guess if you followed college basketball all year, you knew Kentucky was the best team. You knew they were number one most of the year. You knew they were favored to win this game. And they did wind up winning the game, Kentucky 67, Kansas 59. But I got to tell you, I got a different read on this game than most people I've heard discuss the game already. Yes, Kentucky dominated the game. Yes, Anthony Davis, it's like a time capsule game where you see a guy who only scored 6 points but dominated the game in every other aspect of the game, 16 rebounds, 6 blocks, 5 assists, 3 steals. Anthony Davis, the National Player of the Year, deserved to be the most outstanding player of the tournament. But I thought if you watch the SEC final when Vanderbilt came back to beat Kentucky, obviously not a critical game for Kentucky like yesterday, but you saw to me that Kentucky and John Calipari, by his own admission, did exactly last night what they did against Vanderbilt, and it could have cost them the national championship. It didn't. So all credit goes to Kentucky, but I got to say, when you were watching that game, it was like an instant replay. Kentucky dominating early, opening up an 18-point lead, up 14 at the half, looked like they were in total control. Deron Lamb, who was unbelievable, 22 points, hit 2 threes in the second half, looked like the game was over. And then Kansas just made, as they did in other games, and I said yesterday, if they get down double digits, they can't win. But they certainly made a run at Kentucky down 18, 14, et cetera. And I think, but for a couple of bad plays by Kansas, not by Kentucky, I thought that game was there for the taking late by Kansas because of what Kentucky did. Specifically, there were two plays, and you probably heard them by now. Kentucky up 15 with 5:10 left, but then Kansas made an unbelievable run led by Tyshawn Taylor, who finally hit a three-pointer and then took it to the basket and got fouled. So he scored 6 points in less than a minute to cut the lead from 59-44 to 59-50. Then Thomas Robinson got fouled, cut it to 59-52. And I thought this was the first key play. I thought there were two very key plays on Kansas's part. After Lamb took a shot and actually missed with 3:32 left, the rebound was passed to Elijah Johnson, who had played well, who had hit a couple of threes for Kansas, and he decided to go the length of the court. But I've never seen a guy do this. It was like he was driving to the basket and then decided he wasn't going to shoot. He was so far under the basket, he must have been 3 or 4 feet out of bounds when he decided to try and pass the ball back in to the total opposite side of the court and out by the wing. It had to be a 30-foot pass, which, of course, went out of bounds and led to a turnover. And I thought that was a huge turnover, because they cut it from 59-44 to 59-52 with the ball. And then, of course, going back the other way, Markquese Teague hit the biggest shot of the game, in my opinion. He hit that three that put him up 10 with 2:50 left. Now, Johnson, to his credit, came back and hit another three. Teague missed. Robinson got fouled and made 2 free throws. Suddenly at 62-57 now, down 10 and down 5. With 1:37 left. And then you recall Kentucky brings the ball across the midcourt line. Relaford almost gets a steal. Tyshawn Taylor, who was near the ball, pulled his hand back, thinking, I guess, that the ball was going to go out of bounds, but it was coming cross court. It had to go like 30 feet to go out of bounds. And sure enough, somebody from Kentucky recovered it, and then Anthony Davis got fouled. made one of two free throws. Kentucky now up six. And then, again, back and forth. Marquise Peake gets fouled, makes two free throws, 65-57. Taylor makes a basket, 65-59. And then I thought the other gigantic play, which I'm sure you saw, with 24 seconds left, Elijah Johnson opened briefly on the left wing for a three, goes up to take it. And, of course, Anthony Davis, with that long arm span, comes rushing out at Johnson. And what does Johnson do? He goes up and then just drops the ball on the ground, picks it up and shoots it, obviously a walk, makes the shot irrelevant. The call was already made. But in that situation, that 65-59, Kentucky up six, only 23 seconds left, obviously if you hit a three, it's a one-possession game, and whoever you foul has a lot of pressure on Kentucky. But Elijah Johnson in that situation, you know, that almost goes back to the schoolyard mentality. You don't want to be embarrassed. You don't want to get your shot blocked, so what do? You do anything but get your shot blocked, and really what could have happened was one of three things in that situation. Johnson somehow hit some kind of rainbow jumper, which wasn't going to happen, or Johnson just goes up and the shot gets blocked. You know, if you saw the play, Davis was like 3 feet from out of bounds. Johnson took a deep three from the left wing, almost out of bounds, so it would have been knocked out of bounds, still Kansas's ball. Or the third thing that did happen, you're so embarrassed, you drop it on the ground. It's like, yeah, it was like a schoolyard play where, you know, you don't suffer the embarrassment of getting the ball blocked, but you also turn it over. So of all the things that could have happened, that was the only real bad thing that could have happened. And that really was the end of the game. Lamb made two foul shots to really put it out of reach. Elijah Johnson missed another three with like 10 seconds left, but that was irrelevant. But it was the two Johnson turnovers that really could have changed the game. Again, this was Kentucky-Vanderbilt all over again. And if Kansas had been a little closer or had made a couple of plays down the stretch, I mean, there were a couple. Tyshawn Taylor with 54 seconds left. You probably saw the play. He goes back door. They're down six. He goes back door. He beats Kit Gilchrist cleanly. He's going for the reverse layup now, and Gilchrist makes an unbelievable recovery and block. But Taylor still gets the ball off the block and then throws the ball away, trying to hit Robinson in the middle of the court. He actually threw it all the way across the court and out of bounds almost by half court. So there were two or three plays, the two Johnson turnovers and the Taylor turnover, in the last few minutes, where they lost three possessions in a game that had been cut down from 15 down to 5. I mean, it was just there for the taking, I thought, despite the fact that Kentucky dominated for 35 minutes. So I'm surprised that the focus really has been on how athletic Kentucky is and how well they play, how they have five or six first-round draft picks, and all that is true, how Calipari finally got his first national championship, and all of that is true. But the story of the game, you know, Bill Self after the game said, we didn't lose it, we got beat. I totally disagree with that. Totally. If you had put a little more pressure on Kentucky, if you could have turned one or two of those three possessions into baskets, and then the game is three or two or four or one if you hit a three, my goodness, I think Kentucky was right for the taking, just as happened with Vanderbilt in the SEC final. But give Kentucky all the credit. They get the win. Kentucky 67, Kansas 59. Now, you don't like what happened in Lexington. One guy was wounded by gunfire. He's in serious condition, but not life-threatening. Over 2,000 people were arrested. Obviously, Kentucky wild for basketball. We understand that totally. Besides Davis, who was the MOP, Deron Lamb with 22. Teague was great with 14. Kid Gilchrist, 11 and 6 rebounds. Tyshawn Taylor finally hit a three, apparently the first time he's ever hit a three in the dome. I was hoping, as a guy who had picked Kansas to win it all before the tournament, that he would have taken some threes earlier just to see if he could do it. But he was 8 for 17. He did have 19 points. Thomas Robinson, 18 points, 17 rebounds. You could see Robinson, he's a bull, he's a beast, he's a strong guy, he'll be an NBA player, but he really couldn't quite go with the athleticism of some of these guys. And also Robinson, too, with about 4 minutes left in the game, got a tremendous rebound, but really grabbed it one-handed, kind of nonchalanted it, Davis came down from behind him and smacked the ball out of his hands. That led to a dunk basket for Kentucky. So I'll say it again. Kansas had their chances, and they didn't capitalize. But again, Calipari gets his first, his fourth Final Four, his first national championship, and certainly Kentucky was the best team in the country. But, boy, it could have been another disaster like it was a few years ago when Kansas beat Memphis with Calipari coaching, and Memphis was up 9 with 2:11 to go. This could have been a similar similar result, but it wasn't. Kentucky 67, Kansas 59, Kentucky the national champions. This is the Steve Kallis Show. We're at SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Think Fish with Frank Reese on Blue Zoo Radio, Sunday nights at 8 p.m. exclusively on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
These days, you hear them everywhere. Get out of debt quick promises asking you to call right now to solve all your credit problems. But please, listen carefully. Don't make a huge mistake. There is a better way. Trinity Debt Management. Many debt settlement companies have created a dangerous misunderstanding. Simply put, debt settlement often ends up destroying your credit and ultimately may lead to asset seizure and bankruptcy. There is a better way out. Trinity Debt Management can show you how to pay off your debt, preserve your good name, save thousands in interest, and in the end, actually improve your credit rating, not destroy it. Say no to debt settlement. Say yes to debt management. Trinity Debt Management. Make the right choice and become debt-free for keeps. Call 1-800-780-0646. That's 1-800-780-0646.
This is a referral service. Calls will be routed to an independent referral insurance agency.
Listen up, America!
Listen up, America. I'm talking to anyone with or without a pre-existing medical condition. A health insurance hotline has now been established to provide health insurance for all Americans, even uninsured Americans with pre-existing conditions. Call now for a free, no-obligation quote on affordable health plans available to you. 1-800-690-6110. I repeat, this is a hotline providing free quotes for affordable health plans. It's for anyone without health insurance, even if you have pre-existing conditions. Medical costs are the number one cause of bankruptcy and financial distress. All uninsured Americans are strongly urged to call this National Health Insurance Hotline right away to protect yourself and your family from an unexpected variety of medical costs that could cause financial hardship. Call the Health Insurance Hotline right now for a free quote at 1-800-690-6110. That's 1-800-690-6110. Call 1-800-690-6110.
You're listening to the SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Are you an inventor, or do you know an inventor who would like to attempt to have an invention or idea patented and submitted to industry? For free information on how to proceed, call toll-free.
Call 1-800-330-2345. That's 1-800-330-2345.
InventHelp, one of America's largest invention companies, has inventors' information you can have for free. Record your invention's date of origination, plus get an information brochure and other material of interest to new inventors. Learn how you can get your free information just by dialing toll-free.
Call 1-800-330-2345. That's 1-800-330-2345.
Even if you only have an idea for improving an existing product or don't know where to go with it, you'll want this free inventor's information. It shows how InventHelp may assist you in trying to patent your invention and submit it to industry. It's a free call, so call InventHelp right now.
Call 1-800-330-2345. That's 1-800-330-2345.
SportsTalkNetwork.com, the internet broadcast giant for sports talk and entertainment programming, now features market-specific sports sites in over one dozen cities, including New York, Chicago, Los Angeles, Cleveland, and Canada. And we're not done yet. More markets launching soon. Your cities, your teams, your passion. We are SportsTalkNetwork.com.
In these hard economic times, you've got to do whatever you can to save money. One of our biggest expenses can be our cars, especially when unexpected repair bills hit. Not anymore. If you have a car, truck, or SUV, you can stop paying for all covered repairs. That's right. You might not have to pay a penny more than you want for repairs. Just call 1-877-246-0508 right now to see if you qualify. Repairs for your engine, transmission, and much more can become a thing of the past if your vehicle has less than 130,000 miles. Just call 877-246-0508 today and get your car protected, saving you hundreds, even thousands of dollars. Phone lines are open right now. See if your vehicle qualifies. Just call 1-877-246-0508 to get your car protected today. Call 877-246-0508. That's 1-877-246-0508. Never pay for covered car repairs again. Just call 877-246-0508. That's 877-246-0508.
With nearly 30 years of experience in the electrical surplus and distribution business, Supply Line Electric has now taken its business onto the internet with a completely automated website for inventory control and order entry. Specializing in Square D, Eaton Cutler Hammer, Siemens Automation, Banner Engineering, ASCO Valves, Bussmann and Faraz Fuses, and coming very soon are more than 5,000 line items of Allen Bradley. SupplyLineElectric.com, your 24/7 distributor of electrical, motor control, and automation parts. Welcome back to the Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Yeah, we're back on the Steve Callis Show. Just a few more things on that NCAA final. They announced, and I hate when they do this, but this is what happens in sports nowadays. They announced that Anthony Davis was the fourth freshman to be the most outstanding player in the Final Four in the history of the NCAA. And you probably know that in the, I don't know when exactly it started, but certainly in the 60s when Lew Alcindor, who became Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, was a freshman at UCLA, he couldn't even play. Freshmen weren't allowed to play there. When Bill Walton was a freshman at UCLA, Bill Walton wasn't allowed to play varsity ball. They had to wait till their sophomore year. And the story that I've read about a number of times is that the year that Alcindor, now Jabbar, was a freshman at UCLA. UCLA was the defending national champs, and Alcindor's freshman team beat the defending national champs. And the saying at UCLA at the time, that would be 1965-66, the saying was UCLA varsity basketball, number one in the nation, number two on campus, because the freshman team with Alcindor, you know, had beaten the varsity that was the defending national champs. Now, I'm sure those guys lost some guys to graduation, but you get the point. And the point is, Alcindor and or Walton could have, would have, should have been the MVP of the Final Four if they were allowed to play as freshmen. So when you hear the fourth freshman in the history of the NCAA tournament, well, that's true, but, and the true but is there were at least 20 years or more where freshmen couldn't even play varsity basketball. You know, the system now has been stood on its head. Once upon a time, they wanted the freshmen to get acclimated to college, so they weren't allowed to play varsity basketball. Flash forward to today, you're getting guys like Anthony Davis who are only going to be there for 1 year. You know, Calipari, the coach Calipari is talking about having six first-round draft picks on this team this year, assuming all six of them go on. For example, Teague, freshman point guard, very good player. To me, he could use another year in college, but that's just me. But all these other guys are probably going. Lamb, Davis, Kidd Gilchrist. You know, Kentucky, look, they've got an unbelievable team. You have to give them a lot of credit. And Calipari's got to go out and reload, but he's shown an ability to reload. You know, John Wall would still be in college in the old days, for example. So that's how it is, but I don't want you to, you know, when they say fourth freshman ever in the history of the NCAA, well, that's true, but again, freshmen couldn't play for 20 or 30 years from the 60s into the 70s, et cetera. But again, all credit to Kentucky. It's amazing that such a young team, and again, I don't think this would have even been possible 20 or 30 years ago, even when freshmen did play. If you had everybody staying in school for 4 years, this could never happen. And again, Kentucky showed you how they could possibly have lost this game to an inferior Kansas team. Give Kansas a lot of credit. They defended well. They played hard. You know, they don't have the talent or the scoring power that Kentucky has, but give them credit for being in the game. But the notion that Kansas was some kind of elite college basketball team, I think even Bill Self would admit that it really wasn't. But give Kentucky a lot of credit. Kansas with a fantastic season and an excellent run. But Kentucky wins their eighth national championship, only three behind UCLA. Of course, John Wooden won 10 of those 11 at UCLA. UCLA first with 11 national championships. Kentucky second with 8 national championships. We'll get to the NBA and we'll get to the NHL with the NHL winding down this weekend, the final weekend of the regular season. Some playoff spots still to be determined. But first, a little bit of Major League Baseball. Two very interesting contracts. Joey Votto. Now, Joey Votto is an excellent player. But Cincinnati, not known for giving long-term contracts, gives Joey Votto a 10-year extension for $225 million. And a lot of people thought that Cincinnati would trade Joey Votto because they're not in the habit of signing guys two long-term contracts, but clearly they've made a decision that this guy is the face of their franchise and will be for through the 2023 season with a full no-trade clause. Now, Votto, an excellent player. He leads the major leagues in hitting in the last 3 years with runners in scoring position. He has a .363 average. So that's obviously a key statistic for a guy who's going to be the mainstay of the Cincinnati Reds for the next 10 years. Joey Votto gets 10 years, $225 million. And Matt Cain, the fine giant right-hander, signs the largest contract for a righty pitcher in the history of baseball. The Giants give Matt Cain 6 years, $127.5 million. Cain also an excellent top-line starter. With him and Lincecum, the Giants are going to be set with a 1-2 punch for years to come now. A few other things in baseball. Ubaldo Jimenez, and we talked about it the other day, he hit Troy Tulowitzki. Jimenez used to be on Colorado, was traded to the Indians. Apparently there was some bad blood between Jimenez and Tulowitzki when Jimenez was on the Rockies. The reports were that Jimenez was really upset that Tulowitzki and a couple of other guys in Colorado had gotten the money, had gotten big contracts, and Jimenez didn't get such a big contract. So Jimenez hit Tulowitzki in his first at-bat in an exhibition game the other day, hit him on the elbow, and today it was announced that he's going to get a 5-game suspension. Apparently Cleveland came out with a comment he's going to start anyway the second game of the year, which means he's going to appeal that suspension. He claims that, you know, what every pitcher claims, oh, I just, you know, the ball got away from me. But apparently there's a long history there, and Jimenez was very upset with Colorado and Tulowitzki because he, Jimenez, was not given a long-term contract. So he's got a 5-game suspension. Apparently he's going to appeal it. As you know, if he does appeal it, he's not suspended until the appeal is heard and then a decision is made. And, you know, it's usually 5 games for pitchers is really like a 1-game suspension. You know, if you wanted a pitcher to miss 4 starts nowadays, you'd have to suspend them for like 15 or 20 games. So I don't think that suspension is going to be any less. You never know what's in the pitcher's mind, but given the history, you have to think he did just want to plow him somewhere in the elbow, in the leg, in the butt, in the back, whatever. But as of right now, Jimenez suspended for 5 games, but apparently he will appeal. A couple of other things. Andrew Bailey, who is supposed to be the Red Sox closer, now needs thumb surgery. So obviously the Red Sox, who had their problems with their epic collapse, the Red Sox and the Braves with epic collapses last year, as you know, Bobby Valentine taking over in Boston, but he's going to have to do some managerial miracle work, I think, because the Red Sox have a lot of pitching issues. Although they did come out and say Josh Beckett is going to pitch on Saturday after that report that he was not going to pitch on Saturday. But Andrew Bailey will not be thumb surgery. He's going to be out for a while. And one final thing, it's a little strange. I did know this as a Yankee guy for many years in New York. The last 6 times, not counting yesterday yet, obviously that hasn't happened, but the last 6 times that Kentucky won the national championship, in that year the Yankees won the World Series. So a lot of Yankee fans are already saying, well, Kentucky won the national championship, so the Yankees are going to win the World Series this year. It is kind of a strange thing, and I understand there's no correlation, but Kentucky has won 8 national titles, so 6 of the first 7, including the last 6. When Kentucky won, the Yankees won the World Series. So, you know, do with that what you will. It's just kind of an interesting, weird stat slash coincidence. I mean, I think it's a coincidence, but it has happened 6 times. So we'll just have to see what happens during this baseball season. Want to switch now to the NBA. Number of games in the NBA last night. Grizzlies go to Oklahoma City to play the Thunder. The Grizzlies, a very good team. 29-22, they go on the road and they beat Oklahoma City. Grizzlies 94, Thunder 88. O.J. Mayo off the bench, 22 points, led the Grizzlies in scoring. Gasol, 13 points, 8 rebounds. Marc Gasol, who might very well be better than his brother Powell now. Rudy Gay, 12 points, 8 rebounds. A very good win for Memphis. They moved to 29-22. Durant with 21 on 8-for-20 shooting. Westbrook, 19 on 5-for-16 shooting. And I think that's how you beat Oklahoma City. If Durant and Westbrook shoot 13-for-36, 2-for-11 from 3, I think that's how you beat them. Ibaka, 12 points, 5 rebounds. Perkins, 7 points, 11 rebounds. Harden off the bench with 14. But a good win for Memphis, 29-22. They are a playoff team. Zach Randolph still coming off the bench. 10 points yesterday in 28 minutes. We'll have to see if eventually they put Randolph in the starting lineup. Maybe they like him coming off the bench. Maybe they're just resting him for the playoffs. But a good road win for the Memphis Grizzlies as they go to Oklahoma City and they beat the Thunder 94-88. A couple of other interesting games. The Rockets go to Chicago to play the Bulls. Derrick Rose misses his 11th game in a row. And despite all that, Chicago is still 42-13, but the Rockets come in and get a big win for them as they beat the Bulls 99-93. Goran Dragic, the point guard, 21 points, 5 assists for the Rockets. No Kevin Martin for the Rockets. No Kyle Lowry for the Rockets. I mean, that's a very good win for Houston on the road against Chicago, even without Derrick Rose. Luis Scola, 18 points, 12 rebounds, a very good player. Marcus Camby still sticking around, 12 points, 11 rebounds. Again, a good win for Houston. For Chicago, Luol Deng, 9-for-14 from the field, 24 points, 7 rebounds. Boozer, 16 points, 13 rebounds. Joakim Noah, 15 points, 9 rebounds, but not enough. No Rose, no victory yesterday anyway. Rockets, 99, Bulls, 93. Couple of other games quickly. The Clippers go on the road to Dallas to play the Mavericks. No Jason Kidd for the Mavericks. No Lamar Odom for the Mavericks. The Clippers get the win. Clippers 94, Mavericks 75. Randy Foy was the story, believe it or not, for the Clippers. 28 points, 3 rebounds. Griffin, the human highlight film, human highlight show guy, 15 points, 16 rebounds, a couple of spectacular dunks. Chris Paul, only 8 points on 3-for-12 shooting, 0-for-5 from 3, but he did have 10 assists and 5 rebounds, so that was good enough as the Clippers get a nice road win at Dallas. Nowitzki, I don't know how he can only take 14 shots, maybe because Jason Kidd wasn't there to get him the ball, but Nowitzki, 19 points, 4 rebounds. Terry off the bench, 15 points, 4 assists, and that was it. Those are the only two players in double figures. For the Mavericks as the Clippers move to 32-21 and Dallas drops to 30-24. Clippers 94, Mavericks 75. Just a couple of other games quickly. The Bucks trying to stay with the Knicks, get a win over the Wizards. Bucks 112, Wizards 98. Jennings with 19 points and 7 assists to lead the Bucks. The Kings beat the Timberwolves out in Sacramento. Kings 116. Timberwolves 108, Tyreke Evans with 24 points and 7 assists to lead the Kings. Kevin Love with 23 points and 7 rebounds for the Timberwolves. One other game, the Jazz beat the Trailblazers up in Portland. Jazz 102, Trailblazers 97. Millsap with 31 points. Wesley Matthews leads the Trailblazers with 33. This is the Steve Callis Show. We're at Sports Talk Network. .com.
Get your college sports news when you want it, 24/7 online and on demand. SportsTalkNetwork.com. Your cities, your teams, your passion.
You want to put your nest egg somewhere where it will grow. Gold has given investors a 300% return over the last 10 years. You want an investment that's safe. Gold American Eagles are guaranteed by the U.S. government for weight and purity. You want to work with someone you can trust. Blanchard & Company was founded over 35 years ago. They have an A-plus rating from the Better Business Bureau. You want an investment that's liquid in case you need your money fast. Well, Blanchard guarantees to buy back any gold you invest in with them at the current market rates anytime you want to sell. And you want someone you can talk to ask questions and find out what's right for you. Blanchard has set up a special toll-free line to give you a free one-on-one consultation and information with a gold expert. Just call 800-309-5530. That's 800-309-5530. For free gold information, call now. 800-309-5530. 800-309-5530.
Get your Major League Baseball news when you want it 24/7, online and on demand. SportsTalkNetwork.com. Your cities, your teams, your passion. With nearly 30 years of experience in the electrical surplus and distribution business, Supply Line Electric has now taken its business onto the internet with a completely automated website for inventory control and order entry. Specializing in motor starters, contactors, coils, contact kits, push buttons, pilot lights, photo and proximity sensors, and many more items, including obsolete and hard to find parts. Visit us today at SupplyLineElectric.com. And don't forget that all orders ship the same business day. Supply Line Electric.com, your 24/7 distributor of electrical, motor control, and automation parts. Get your NBA news when you want it, 24/7, online and on demand. SportsTalkNetwork.com, your cities, your teams, your passion.
Great job, guys. We just got certified loose slots by Las Vegas Advisor.
Yeah, but George, we're so tired.
Yeah, we've been giving out so much money, and look, jackpot's arm hurts because of all the pulls.
Well, guys, don't do it for me. Do it for our guests. Get back out there.
All right.
All right? Hands in.
Palm slots pay lots.
Palm slots are certified up to 36.85% looser than the Las Vegas Strip and local jurisdictions by the Las Vegas Advisor.
Want to know what's going on in the world of professional wrestling and sports entertainment?
It's still real to me, damn it!
Join Paul Belfie and Mike Pitak.
You are a freaking lunatic!
For Pro Wrestling Insider.
Awesome!
On SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Listen, if you're considering buying hardwood flooring, don't do anything until you've written down this number and received your free Lumber Liquidators catalog.
The flooring was high quality with an unbeatable price tag.
Call in the next 10 minutes to get your free catalog.
What I bought at Lumber Liquidators is a vastly higher quality than flooring I had installed 6 years ago, and for a fraction of the cost.
So if you want great hardwood flooring at unbeatable prices, trust Lumber Liquidators. We buy direct from the mills. Call right now to get our flooring guide and catalog absolutely free. It's filled with top quality hardwood flooring, including solid hardwoods, laminates, and bamboos, and even Bellawood pre-finished flooring with a 100-year transferable warranty. The same floor Bob Vila has in his home. This free catalog is full of tips, ideas, and our flooring project list to make your buying decisions easy. Hurry, call right now to get a copy of this free guide and catalog. Call 877-407-9413 to get your free copy now. 877-407-9413. 877-407-9413.
Welcome back to the Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Yeah, we're back on the Steve Callis Show. Want to switch to the NFL now. Some interesting stuff happening there. The appeal, which Roger Goodell had promised would be heard quickly, is not going to be heard as quickly as he said it would be heard. Is the actual day for Sean Payton and Mickey Loomis and Joe Vitt to show up and plead their case to Roger Goodell has been put off until later this week. People thought it was going to happen either today or tomorrow, but it is now not going to happen. And look, I don't think anybody thinks that Goodell is going to lessen these suspensions, but I think it's serving the purpose that Sean Payton and the New Orleans organization wanted it to serve. It's going to give them an extra 4, 5, 6, 7 games. If you don't have the appeal hearing until Thursday, Friday of this week, there'll be no decision until Monday. You can't just have, even though it's a joke, You can't just have the appeal Thursday morning and say Thursday afternoon appeal denied. So I think all in all they're going to get an extra week. The suspension was supposed to start this past Sunday, April 1st. I think they'll get till next Monday, an additional 8 days. Goodell did make the announcement that it's okay with him if the Saints sign Bill Parcells to coach the team. Interestingly, there was kind of a backlash in the league. How can you let a Hall of Fame coach, who, of course, should have been in the Hall of Fame last year but didn't get in, how can you let them, in theory, hire a coach who's even better than Sean Payton? But you can't. I don't see how there's any way you can tell a team after you suspend their coach for a full season who to hire and who not to hire. I mean, that would be absurdity beyond absurdity. So the appeal will be heard later in the week. Again, everybody talks about this concept of even the commissioner's office, oh, I'll be happy to listen to any new evidence. That's not an appeal. An appeal is you're appealing on what the record was in front of you, saying you shouldn't give me a year, you should only give me fill in the blank, 14 games, 12 games, 8 games. Or in the case of Mickey Loomis, you shouldn't give me half a year, 8 games, you should give me 4 games. But this is, you know, again, the appeal is always a joke. When you appeal to the person who gave you the ruling, that's a joke. Even that's not an appeal, really. There's no unbiased intermediary. There's no arbitrator. And there should be one. You know, maybe this is something that will be discussed later. But, of course, the time to do that was right before the NFL had a new agreement. I'm surprised the players, maybe they were afraid they were going to lose real games and real money. But that would have been something to negotiate just this past summer when there was a lockout going on. But whatever, I think Sean Payton and Mickey Loomis and the New Orleans Saints organization is getting what they hoped for. That is an extra 6, 7, 8, 9 days to really get all their ducks in a row before Payton is no longer the coach of the New Orleans Saints. Now, to me, the problem for him is this might hurt him on the back end, but I guess it doesn't really matter next year in April whether you're the coach April 1st or April 10th, for example. I mean, I guess that's not a big deal. It's more important for them to get those 8, 9 days right now because they have to, again, get their organization in order because supposedly Payton's going to have no influence. Again, I don't know how they monitor that, but Payton's supposed to have no influence. He can't really be coaching. He can't really be connected with the team. I assume he'll have to be allowed to talk to Bill Parcells, although they themselves have said they don't quite understand the parameters of the suspension. That's another reason for them to appeal to find out exactly what it is that's going on. So, again, that won't be decided. I don't think the hearing will be till Thursday or Friday, and I don't think anything will be decided until early next week in the New Orleans Saints bounty case. One other interesting thing in the NFL, and maybe you know about this already, but there's been a very interesting development in the last 90 minutes. The Colts are sending out their representatives to Stanford for Andrew Luck to have a private workout just for the Indianapolis Colts guys. Of course, everybody has thought all along that the Colts were going to take Andrew Luck. He's viewed to be the next Peyton Manning. We'll have to see if that's true. And again, the Indianapolis Colts are not going to be very good this year. As I wrote a while back at SportsTalkNetwork.com, if Peyton Manning wants to win another Super Bowl, why would he have wanted to stay a Colt? But he seemed sincere when he said he wanted to, but he would not have taken that team, nor will Andrew Luck, at least not this coming year and probably for a few years after that. But in any event, Andrew Luck is privately working out for the Colts today at Stanford. But the interesting thing is Jim Irsay, the owner, who I think likes to hear himself speak, he sent out a tweet that said he wanted to do a private workout with Robert Griffin III as well, but Robert Griffin III's agent said no. And that seems then to be a very clear sign that Robert Griffin and or his agent have made a determination that RG3 will be better off in Washington rather than Indianapolis. And they might very well be right, because Indianapolis has lost so many players that's going to take a while for them to reload. Washington, not a good team last year. They did beat the Giants twice, however. Now, they only had 4 wins, but they beat the Super Bowl champions twice. They do have some talent. Obviously, Daniel Snyder has a ton of money. Shanahan is a proven coach with 2 Super Bowl victories. Plus, it's the East Coast versus Indianapolis, which if you're in that whole marketing thing, yeah, if you're Peyton Manning, you can be in Indianapolis, but you're not going to get the opportunities you would get in New York or even on the East Coast. And maybe that's all part of the reason that Griffin's agent said they would not do a private workout for the Indianapolis Colts. That if there was any doubt what quarterback Indianapolis was going to draft, and there was very little doubt. Say very late in the game said, well, we're going to pick a quarterback. We don't know if it'll be Luck or RG3. But I don't think anybody really believed that. But this is the final clincher where RG3 is essentially telling the Indianapolis Colts that we really don't want you. So they've all, assuming Indianapolis had not made the decision, frankly, the decision was just made for them, if that's true. So it's pretty clear that Andrew Luck will be the number one pick in the draft to the Colts, and RG3 will be the number two pick in the draft to the Washington Redskins. A couple of other miscellaneous things. Women's final game of the season tonight in NCAA college basketball, Notre Dame against Baylor. Obviously, Baylor the big favorite. They're 39-0. They have Brittany Griner, 6'8". She only had 13 rebounds and 13 points and 9 rebounds in their semifinal win. But Baylor isn't just a one-woman show, although Griner, you know, I think she's one of only two women to dunk in an NCAA basketball game. Baylor will be the heavy favorite. Baylor should win. Notre Dame, who beat UConn in the semis and is the power in the Big East this year, make no mistake about that. Notre Dame looking for the big upset, but Baylor looking to become the first team to go 40-0. Calipari last night, being Calipari, said, you know, when they asked him what's next for you now that you've won a national championship, he said, oh, I'd like to go through a whole season undefeated. You know, we lost two this year. Why not go a whole season undefeated? We had 5 number one draft picks last year. We should have 6 number one draft picks, first-round draft picks this year. Why not go for 7 first-round draft picks next year? And that's going to be very hard because even though it's true that everybody bought into this whole team thing, you're not bringing in 7 freshmen. What you had this year was 3 freshmen and 2 sophomores starting, and they all might go. And then Darius Miller was a 4-year senior who started more games for Kentucky than any player in the history of Kentucky. He might be a first-round draft pick even though he was the 6th man on the team. It's going to be hard to convince 2 young people to come in knowing they're not going to start, thinking they're going to be number one draft picks. If anyone can do it, it's Calipari. But I think that's a little too ambitious. Very hard to go undefeated. Could a Connecticut team do it? Yeah, they could do it. But the game, again, is a different game now. Freshmen and sophomores can do this. Decades ago, the freshmen couldn't even play, but when you had whole teams that stayed for 4 years and stars that stayed for 4 years or played through their senior season like an Alcindor or a Bill Walton, no team of freshmen and sophomores was going to beat them. Again, the quality of the basketball is not what it used to be because all the superstars leave after 1 year now. Or virtually all the superstars. Occasionally you'll get a Tim Duncan going back to the late 90s or a Tyler Hansbrough at North Carolina a few years ago. You do get those guys, but the Kentucky guys, 9 out of 10 of them are leaving after 1 year or 2 years. And that's just the way it's going to be. Now there's some talk now about changing the rule. Apparently the latest president of the NCAA doesn't like this whole concept. It's not really a student-athlete thing. And of course he's totally right, but you know, in my opinion, you should let these kids, if they're good enough to go out of high school to the NBA, you should allow them to go to the NBA. You know, tennis players turn pro at 14, 15, 16. Golfers turn pro at 14, 15, 16. You can't tell me because it's a team sport it should be different. A guy should really be allowed to, if he can make a living. I mean, imagine LeBron James going to college for a year or Kobe going to college for a year. If that kind of guy comes, and you can make a case Anthony Davis is that kind of guy, I don't know. His game will translate to the pros. Will he be a superstar right off the bat? I don't know. But to me, they should have the opportunity to go right after high school if they want. And apparently now there's talk of even trying to keep these guys to stay there 2 years. But to me, there's just something basically wrong. If that player is good enough and wants to make a living, I don't think this has been challenged by anybody in the NBA, any high school player in the NBA, but it seems to me they should be allowed to make a living if they're good enough to make a living. A few other things. Basketball Hall of Fame. 12 players, coaches, and teams will be inducted into the Naismith Memorial Basketball Hall of Fame in September. Leading that class is Reggie Miller, the Nick Killer. You know, is Reggie Miller a Hall of Famer? Well, he's certainly a Hall of Famer against the Knicks, but essentially, frankly, was a jump shooter who had some incredible games against the Knicks and did put up some good numbers. But he was a five-time All-Star. He is in the Hall of Fame. Don Nelson gets selected to be in the Hall of Fame. Don Nelson, of course, with more wins than anybody in the history of the NBA. I think more losses as well, but also a great Celtic for a lot of years. A number of other people got in. Jamal Wilkes, who played at UCLA and was a four-time NBA champion, gets in. Chet the Jet Walker, who you have to go back to the 60s and 70s, was a very good NBA player. ABA star Mel Daniels, who was another off-the-charts player. Ralph Sampson, who was the three-time Collegiate Player of the Year. And a number of other people, two-time Olympic gold medalist Katrina McLean, longtime referee Hank Nichols, Nike co-founder Phil Knight, Olympian Don Barksdale, and Russian Lydia Alexeva. One team was voted in, the All-American Redheads, which were viewed to be the female version of the Harlem Globetrotters. So those 12 players, coaches, and one team will be inducted into the Basketball Hall of Fame in September. Now, if you've been up there to Springfield, Massachusetts, to the Basketball Hall of Fame, you understand it's different from baseball, for example, where it's really, other than the Negro League players that were allowed in and properly allowed in, it's really been Major League Baseball. Nowadays, these, especially basketball, it's like a broader base of people are allowed in, men and women, collegians and professionals. And I'm not necessarily against that, but again, the problem with all of these halls of fame, all of them, is nobody had the foresight to see that over time how unwieldy they would be. I went 30 years ago to the Hall of Fame when I was young, and you could wrap yourself around the Hall of Fame. I went up there last year with my son, and it's just so big. There are so many players, so many entities in there. You really can't get a grasp of it anymore. There are just too many players, and I've said this before, and I'll say it again. Baseball or somebody, one of these major halls of fame, should just have one player inducted every year. Two tops. Think about it. If baseball in 1936, when they started voting, had only voted one player in, or maybe you'd give them the first class of six, you know, with Ruth and that whole group, Ty Cobb, maybe you would have let the first class in and then only had one from 1936 to the present, you'd have about 80 guys in the Hall of Fame. And you could get your hands around it. Now you have like 300 people in the Hall of Fame. It's just too much. I think the Thoroughbred Hall of Fame now gets it right. One trainer, one jockey every year. Sometimes with ties there can be two. But at least that's going to limit, again, flash forward 100 years and you got 1,000 people in the Hall of Fame. What is that really going to mean? Whereas if you flash forward 100 years and started the thing 50 years ago, you've had 150 people. Even that is still graspable. But all of these Halls of Fame, they induct 12 into the Basketball Hall of Fame. I think they have to induct at least four into the Football Hall of Fame every year. That's ridiculous. What if you don't have four Hall of Famers? But in any event, those 12 people get into the Hall of Fame. There was a dispute about Reggie Miller. He didn't get in last year. You know, again, to me, he's a borderline Hall of Famer. I don't even think he ever led the league in scoring. Was he ever the best player in the league? I don't think so. But he's in the Hall of Fame. And, again, the Springfield Hall of Fame has already become unwieldy with all the people from different parts of basketball, if you will. One other note, the Masters is this week. Believe it or not, Tiger Woods has been made the favorite. Now, he did win 2 weeks ago, which is why he is the favorite. There's 97 golfers in the field. Tiger Woods will have a 1 o'clock press conference today. He has finished fourth at the Masters last year, so, you know, he is in the mix, I guess, but I'll believe it when I see it. I still don't think he's getting the 19. But this will be a real test for him as he goes in as the favorite. And we'll see if he can win another major. If he does, then this will be the beginning of the road back for Tiger Woods. A couple of hockey games to talk about yesterday. Washington Capitals go down to Tampa Bay. Washington in the eighth spot, 2 points ahead of Buffalo. by Tampa Bay behind two goals by Steven Stamkos, his 57th and 58th of the year. Tampa Bay beats the Washington Capitals, Tampa Bay 4, Washington 2. Jason Chimura with his 20th for Washington, Alexander Semin with his 20th for Washington. But Tampa Bay gets goals from Teddy Purcell, his 21st, and Victor Hedman, his 5th. Stamkos scored with a minute and 3 seconds left to break the 2-2 tie and really break the hearts of Washington Capitals fans. And then Stamkos got an empty netter with 2 seconds left. He actually scored two goals in the last 103 of the game, 57 and 58, obviously leads in National Hockey League in goal scoring and trying to get to 60 goals, which is an amazing achievement in today's game. But Tampa Bay gets the win, Tampa Bay 4, Washington 2, and that's a problem for Washington because Buffalo is 2 points behind the Capitals for the 8th and final playoff spot. Buffalo now has a game in hand, so obviously if Buffalo wins that game in hand, they will then tie for the 8th and final playoff spot with Washington, and we'll just have to wait and see how those final games shake out. Even though Tampa Bay is behind Buffalo in 10th place, they're mathematically out of it as they have 81 points after 79 games, and Buffalo has 86, and Washington already has 88. So Tampa Bay cannot get to Washington's 88 despite their victory last night. But Stamkos trying to get 60 goals, that would be an amazing accomplishment in today's NHL. The other game yesterday, and even a wackier in the West, the Los Angeles Kings shut out Edmonton, Los Angeles 2, Edmonton nothing. Jonathan Quick with his 10th shutout of the year for the Kings. He leads the National Hockey League in shutouts. But this was a gigantic win for Los Angeles because they're in a spot now, although this win probably helps them tremendously, they're in a spot now where they have 93 points and they lead the Pacific Division, so they could be as high as the 3 seed. But if they don't win the Pacific Division, and Phoenix is right behind them with 91 points and a game in hand, San Jose with 90 points and a game in hand, they both have 3 games left. Dallas with 89 points in a game in hand, they have 3 games left. They're all in the Pacific Division with the Kings. So the Kings can win their division and come in third or be ranked third in the playoffs. They can lose their division and make the playoffs, but they can also lose their division and not make the playoffs. That's how wacky it is. Phoenix with 91 points is 7th. San Jose with 90 points is 8th. Dallas with 89 points is 9th. All have 3 games left. Colorado with 88 points is 10th, but they only have 2 games left, so they have to win both games and hope everybody loses. Probably Colorado's not going to make it. But 3 teams out of Los Angeles, Phoenix, San Jose, and Dallas will make it. But one of those teams will be the odd man out in a race that's going to go down to the final night. But Los Angeles 2, Edmonton nothing. Dwight King with his 5th of the year. Slava Voynov with his 8th of the year. The 2 goals in the third period for the Kings. A huge win for them. Keeps them in the third spot for now. And they only have 2 games left. They'll have to see what everyone else in their division that they now have a game in hand. We'll have to see what they do in order to see who makes the playoffs. Finally, TV tonight. Lots of stuff going on. Basketball, NBA TV at 7:30 Eastern. Philadelphia goes down to Miami to play the Heat. MSG, if you get it, the Knicks are out in Indiana to play the Pacers at 7 o'clock Eastern. The Nets at the Lakers, 10:30 Eastern. That's on the YES Network, the Yankee Network. Hockey, lots of hockey coming down to the wire, of course. Doubleheader on NBC Sports Channel. Penguins at Bruins at 7:30 Eastern. Ducks at Canucks, 10 o'clock Eastern. Those are both on the NBC Sports Network. Rangers at the Flyers, 7 o'clock Eastern on MSG2. The Rangers need 1 point to clinch the number one seed in the East. Islanders at the Devils, 7:30 p.m. Eastern on MSG Plus and MSG Plus 2. Devils obviously in the playoffs. Islanders obviously not in the playoffs. Exhibition baseball, if you get SNY, the Mets Network, or YES, the Yankees Network, 2 o'clock this afternoon, the Yankees play the Mets down in Florida. And the women's NCAA tournament championship tonight, as we discussed, Notre Dame plays undefeated Baylor. That's 8:30 p.m. Eastern on ESPN. That game probably won't start for a while after 8:30, but that's what's listed now for the NCAA Women's Championship game. This is the Steve Kallis Show. We're at SportsTalkNetwork.com.